Okay. We're now going to move on to the Sefer Chovos Levavos, the next Sefer that I'd like us to be familiar with. Unlike of Sajigon, which is really a very pure philosophic Sefer, Chovos Levavos is also a Musar Sefer. It's also a Sefer that speaks a lot about Avodas Hashem. It's not just abstract concepts about God. It's a lot of practical advice about Avodas Hashem. You should know it's a very popular Sefer in yeshivas to learn for Musar Seder. It's very, very organized. The way it usually works is within each chapter, he'll tell you like, I'm now going to give you seven reasons for X. And he's going to tell you seven reasons. And there could be three responses to this. Then I'll tell you the three responses. It's a very, very organized Sefer. Rav Bachi Ibn Pekuda, an early Rishon, wrote the Sefer Chovos Levavos, not to be confused with Rabbeinu Bachai, who wrote the Perush on Chumash. That's Rabbeinu Bachai ben Asher. Some people say Rabbeinu Bachi for one, Rabbeinu Bachai for the other, to distinguish between them. But Rabbeinu Bachi, Rabbeinu Bachai Ibn Pekuda wrote the Sefer Chovos Levavos. Chai, Bachya, either one is great. And Chovos Levavos, what I'd like to spend the next 2 weeks doing today, I'd like to familiarize us with the Hakdama, because the Hakdama is very, very famous. I'd like to whet your appetite to learn through the Sefer, because it's definitely required reading for a guy, for anyone who's taking Avodas Hashem seriously. I'm not here to say which one you should read and shouldn't read. Rav Sajigon is a little bit more off the beaten path. Chovos Levavos is one of the basic svarim in Jewish machshava. Tremendous amount of excellent material in there. And I'd like to discuss this week the Hakdama. And next week, Bezus Hashem, or we'll see, maybe the week after because of Rosh Hashanah, we'll see. But next time we meet, I'd like to discuss his Shaar HaBitachon and go through highlights in his Shaar HaBitachon. Because one of his most famous shitas comes up in Shaar HaBitachon, specifically regarding the issue of Hishtadlus. How much is a person able or required to have bitachon in Hashem, and what's the role of hishtadlus? Meaning, you can't just sit back in your rocking chair and expect like the paychecks to come in without doing anything. You have to go out and do something. Be mishtadel, you have to do hishtadlus. Well, how much hishtadlus do you have to do? This is a big discussion between Chovos Levavos, the Ramban, Rav Shaul Salanter throws his weight into the ring. So that's a very famous discussion, bitachon and hishtadlus, and Bezus Hashem, that'll be next week. This week I'd like to go through his Hakdama. And like Rav Sajigon, he is very much a champion of the intellect. He also begins, Amar HaMechaber, source number one, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Lo Yeos Inyan HaEchad HaAmiti HaKadmon Mitzuso, Hashem who is one, and HaMatmid Tova, so he's always doing us tremendous Tova. He's always being native to his creations. HaGadolah Shebetovos, the greatest of the good that he's done for us, is what? Hi ha-chachma. It's chachma. The fact that he's given us chachma. Interesting. Sajigon was speaking about the intellect. There's a difference between intellect and wisdom. Intellect is the ability to acquire wisdom. Wisdom is the acquired material. He says it's chachma. Asher hi chai rucham b'ner sichlam ha-mevi osam el ratzon elokim. V'ha-matzalos osam make tzafo b'ol hazeh olam haba. He says the greatest thing is chachma. Here he means wisdom and also intellect. But what does he say? It's the light of our intellect, and it brings us to properly grasping Ratzon Hashem. Ultimately, that's our goal in life when we discuss Sefer Chassidim Bezus Hashem. So we're going to talk more about Ratzon Hashem. But ultimately, philosophic inquiry and using our minds helps us understand what Ratzon Hashem is, what he wants from us in this world, and it protects us from his anger, because it helps us live our lives properly. Kasher Amar HaKasov, like the Pasuk says, Ki Hashem Yitain Chachma Mipiv Das Utfuna. Hashem gives Chachma, Das and Tfuna. Okay. So, the Chovos Levavos begins by discussing what knowledge is. And he tells us there are many different types of knowledge. And of all the different types of knowledge, there's science, he says, all different types of knowledge. The most elevated of knowledge is what? Source 2? Chachma Elokis, which means divine knowledge. Your mind can perceive many things, but the greatest thing that your mind can perceive is knowledge of Hashem. And all other chachma, he says, is what? V'hu das hakel, he says, next line, v'chol chalkei hachachma, at the end of section 2, v'chol chalkei hachachma, l'fi machlokos in yonel, hema she'arim, all other knowledge are what? They're she'arim, passageways, they're gateways. Pischam habore, Hashem opened them, l'midabrim, to us men, l'hasig bohem ha-Torah v'olam. Through all other knowledge, and this is an argument here for certain forms of secular knowledge, because through science and other types of knowledge, it prepares a person's mind to be able to grasp greater knowledge of Hashem. This is what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that there are certain elements of physics and philosophy that a person has to understand properly in order to understand Hashem. This is not like a discussion of Torah Mada, like, can we use other knowledge to also give us an appreciation? Can it add to my well-roundedness? This is just that there's certain knowledge, the Rambam and Chosavos argue, that a person needs to know in order to understand Hashem. We're not talking about, like, in order to be able to get by in the store and do math, you have to be able to count. We're talking about in order to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. There is a famous line, it's disputed, there are those who perhaps are not as so into secular knowledge, so they dispute the authenticity of this line, but l'chore it is completely authentic. In the Hakdama to, I think it's Pasa Shulchan, but one of the Sfarim of the Groz Talmidim, so it says there that the Groz says that there are seven Chachmos in the world, and to the degree that a person is lacking in certain areas of secular knowledge, so commensurate with that, he's lacking in his Torah knowledge. In other words, the Gra writes that a person can't properly perceive Torah if he's lacking in certain areas of knowledge. And he speaks about what those areas are. Now, this idea is found originally here in Chovos Levavos and in the Rambam. And here in section 3, oh, and obviously, studying Torah, which is the highest of all the knowledges, because it gives a perspective on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Ratzon Hashem is going to give us, if we understand Ratzon Hashem, it's going to give us a very clear, or begin to give us a clear understanding of what the essence of Hashem is about. If you understand what makes a person tick, if you understand what makes me tick, what do I like, what don't I like? Like Rav Libor spoke about actually on Shabbos, just like when you see what a person is mit mehalel, when you see what a person values, so you get an understanding of his values, because you see what he values in other people, and what he praises, so too, when we understand what I want, so you'll understand me better. And when you understand Ratzon Hashem, and all of Halacha, and all of Torah is a reflection of Ratzon Hashem, so when a person studies Ratzon Hashem bi'iyun, he understands all the intricacies of Halacha, so he gets a greater perception of who Hashem is. So when a person studies Torah, so he's going to get to divine knowledge. Now it's interesting, when he says this, he also sticks in a line, trying to see if I can see it right now here on the sheet, where he says that it has to be the pure intellect. And again, I think this is like Rav Sajagon, meaning without all of the negios, without all of the biases that a person usually comes with. But in the next section, in section 3, the Chovos Levavos has perhaps one of the most famous lines in his whole Sefer. He tells us that you should realize that there's a great misconception out there. People think that Avodas Hashem is all about actions. The truth is, in our own modern world, this is something that I remember as a kid hearing around, being told that Judaism is all about actions. We don't care so much about thoughts. We care much more about actions. It's about doing things. This perspective was popularized by the conservative movement, actually, where there was a tremendous break from the dogma elements of Judaism, meaning the philosophic elements, things that you need to believe, things that you need to think about. And the stress became on Maisa Mitzvos. And you can find rayas for this in Halacha. We find that Mitok Shalol Shema Bal Lishma, and that Kavanah is not necessarily Me'akev and Asiyas HaMitzvos, right? Whether Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavanah or not Tzrichos Kavanah. And there's a misconception, the Chovos Levavos says, and you find this nowadays as well, many times in many of our societies, in our cultures, our communities, that Judaism is about doing good things. What you think is less important. And what Chovos Levavos tells us here is you should realize that Chachmas HaTorah is Mischalekas Lebeis Chalakim. There are two elements of Torah. Ha'echad Mehem, Lodas Chovas Ha'ivarim. The first, that's an underlying word right there, phrase. Chovas Ha'ivarim. Circle that. Chovas Ha'ivarim. The obligations of our body, of our limbs. There are things that we need to do. We need to put on tefillin. We need to daven even as chovos ha'evarim, because you have to move your lips, you have to say the words. There are many actions that we need to do. And Rov Rubo of the Torah speaks about chovos ha'evarim, things that we need to do. V'hi chachma haniris, and this is something that's very obvious. You can tell when a person's doing it. V'hasheni, La'das chovos halavavos. And the second area, the second sphere of halacha, are chovos halavavos. Obligations, duties of the heart. Which we already know doesn't really mean the heart. It means the mind. What are examples of chovos halavavos? So he says, first of all, they're just straight up mitzvos in the Torah that are chovos halavavos. You're not supposed to have revenge. You're not supposed to hate another Jew. Okay, it might be true that you don't get malchus on something until you do a maisa, but the iser, lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha, you're not allowed to hate another person, is an iser that's completely internal. There's no action involved with that. It's completely in the mind. In terms of mitzvos aseh, you have to believe that Hashem exists. You have to believe that Hashem is one. You have to have avas Hashem. You have to have yiras Hashem. These are chovos of the levavos. Duties, not zak, not duties of the heart, like it says on your book, but duties of the mind. Obligations of the mind. Things that a person has to think. Things that a person has to believe. The Ramban goes as far as to say in his Perush on Iyov that a person who doesn't have proper emunah is not going to get reward for the actions that he does. That emunah is the basis of being able to do the physical actions. And the truth is that people don't really speak about this so much. He says himself in paragraph 4, Chipasti al chovos levavos. I wanted to do a little research about these chovos levavos. Lamaisa, does a person really need to believe or does he not? Can he just do the actions? Min ha-seichel, min ha-kasov, min ha-kabbalah. I was looking around because it was hard to tell from the Torah. Do you have to believe that Hashem created the world out of nothing? That's a pinnacle of Jewish belief. Hashem created the world, how do we say it in Latin? Right, ex nihilo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it 100% correctly. That Hashem created the world out of nothing. Like, from, ex, from, out, nil. I think it comes from that word. Yeah? From nothing. Anyone take Latin? I took Latin in 9th grade. I don't really remember much. Out of nothing. Hashem created the world out of nothing. Not every philosopher argues that. Some say that, no, there was some primordial stuff, Play-Doh, that Hashem created the world out of. We believe that the world was created out of nothing. We believe that Hashem exists and Hashem is one. There aren't two or three forces in the world. Two meaning like deists believe, dualists believe that there's an evil force and a good force that are constantly at strife with each other. We don't believe in any Trinitarian beliefs that there are three forces, chas v'shalom, in the world that are running things. We don't believe in a bunch of gods with faults running around on Mount Olympus fighting each other and poking each other with their spears. We don't believe in all these things. How do you know? Does it say, where in the Torah does it say exactly all of these intricate things that Hashem's the only one you can daven to? You're not allowed to daven to an angel or to a tzaddik. You have to daven only to Hashem. All of these beliefs. So he says, where do you get these things from? And he said, I found Shem Yisod Kol HaMitzvos. V'im Yerabem Shum Hefseid, and if you're lacking in them, Lo Titochen Lanu Mitzvah Mi Mitzvah Seivarim. A person's going to be completely removed. The Rambam obviously also believed like this. The Rambam first, if we're going to go in chronological order, first the Rambam in his Perush, in his Hakdama to Chelek, his Hakdama to the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, that's where the Rambam lays out the Yud Gimli Karm of Judaism. That there are 13 dogmas, 13 beliefs. There is dogma. There are 13 beliefs that man must believe in order to get Olam Haba. And if you don't believe these things, you're out. Now you should realize this was a very big chiddush of the Rambam. Because the Mishnah, listen carefully, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, a person who says there's no Tchiyas HaMesim doesn't get Olam Haba. If you say that there's no Tchiyas HaMesim. So first of all, that's interesting on a few counts. What does it mean if you say? What if you don't say, you just believe? It says, Ha'omer Ein Tchiyas HaMesim, doesn't get Olam Haba. What's also interesting is that in the Mishnah it's in the negative. If you say, if you believe that there's no Olam Haba, that there's no Tchiyas HaMesim, I believe there's no Tchiyas HaMesim, then you don't go to Olam Haba. What if I just don't know? I don't not believe in it, I just don't know if it's true. According to the Mishnah, you should be okay. The Mishnah says, you don't get Olam Haba if what? If you reject Tchiyas HaMesim. What if I don't reject it, I just don't believe it, I'm not sure. So according to the Mishnah, it would sound like you get Olam Haba. But the Rambam flips it. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says you must positively believe in Tchiyas HaMesim to get Olam Haba. You must positively believe that God is one. So the Rambam, very much like the Chovos Levavos, puts this on the map. There are beliefs that you have to believe in. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah says this as well. He starts out the entire Mishnah Torah He starts out the entire Mishnah Torah with what Sefer? What's the first Sefer in Mishnah Torah? Sefer Amada starts with Yisodei HaTorah, which discusses exactly these points. The Chovos Lavavos. This chiluk between Chovos HaIvarim and Chovos Lavavos is quoted all over the place. You're going to start to see it in lots and lots of Sfarim. We're familiar with already breakdowns. Mitzvos Ben Adam Lamakom, Mitzvos Ben Adam Lachavero. This is another famous split. Chovos HaIvarim and Chovos Lavavos. And the purpose of why he wrote the Sefer is because he believes that a person is required to know these inyanim bi'iyun. And he says, and most people don't, and this is very bad. Take a look at this, at quote 6. He says, Ani sha'alti echad mehanechshavim mechachmei haTorah, b'miktsas ma shezacharti lecha. I asked the big Talmud Chacham about some of the things I've been talking up until now. Belief in God, and not only believing in God and knowing that God is one, but actually studying it and trying to learn about it more. And what did he say? V'heshivosi, and he answered me, Ki haKabbalah tamo b'makom ha'iyun. I don't need to do iyun because I have Kabbalah, meaning not mysticism. What does Kabbalah mean? Tradition. I have a Mesorah. What do I need to do iyun? U'b'meshadomala. What do I need to do this? Amarti lo, I said to him, Ein zeroy elo lemish ein yecholas la'iyun. This perspective of just relying on the Mesorah, that's only good enough for someone who doesn't have the ability to do iyun. Maybe he's not so smart. Kinoshim ukitanim v'chasrei das v'na anoshim. We'll leave that untranslated for now. Ach misha b'koch zichlo v'akaras alamod albarer mashakibel. But a person who has the ability, to understand these things, the akveu mila ayinbo, and he doesn't do it, the zichlo ha'atzlus because he's lazy. Who ne'nash alzeh the oshem al asher hes'alim mimenu. He's going to be punished for this because this is part of his responsibility, part of his requirement. Notice, nobody said you're going to get 100% clarity. But that doesn't potter you from asking the questions. It doesn't potter you from trying to read and trying to study. He tells you a story. He says, V'nishal in source 5, V'nishal echad minachachamim al she'ela nachris me'inyan din agerishin. He said, I was sitting in the base medrash, and someone came and asked me a question about some random halacha in Gerishin, which was totally not Nohei Lemaisa. Some, like, you know, fine lumdus point in Gerishin. And this Chacham responded, he said, Ata Isha Shelo. Listen, buddy, you're asking me this question. Al Mashalo Yazikene, you're asking something that has nothing to do with you. It's not really a Lemaisa question. Vimlo Yadano Yadata Kol Mashata Chayav Odasman Amitzos. Do you already know what you're supposed to know that you're asking me this random question that you have no idea about? You're asking me some wild, far-out question in the middle of Ksubis, and you don't even know the basic ABCs of your own religion, of Amuna, of faith? Trust me, if you get the answer to work out this little question at the very end of Tosfos, that's not going to get you the Maila Yisera that you'll acquire if you actually study philosophy and machshava. That was the musr that this Rav gave to somebody who asked a question before he was knowledgeable enough in machshava. I know, I'm not advertising that tomorrow for morning Seder we should all study Chovos HaLevavos and close Ksubis. What I am arguing is that we need to take some time to be able to take some serious limud in machshava, to be able to understand a little bit deeper if we're able to do that. In source 7, we just have a few more minutes here, in source 7, he quotes some pasukim to solidify his proof. We'll quote we'll skip to the middle, because that's a pasuk from this week's next 2 weeks parsha. Zichor yimo salam, binu shnos dor vador, sh'al avicha v'yagercha. So he points out, look, what does it say? Binu shnos dor vador. What is bina? To understand. What's sh'al avicha? To find out the Mesorah. Which one comes first in the pasuk? The bina. Try to understand. That gets priority over the Mesorah. Try to understand on your own. Halo te du'u, halo tishmo, he quotes. Yediya coming before Shmiya again. We discussed last time from the Beis Elokim that it's very wise in a practical sense to first accept the tradition and then to do all the philosophic inquiry. But in terms of which one is more important, what's more important is certainly the knowledge. Now, just to finish off for tonight, I want to just give you a very quick overview of how the Sefer works. What's the purpose of the Sefer? So he says he wrote the Sefer in order so that people would be knowledgeable about the Chovos Levavos. He said there's so many Sfarim written about Chovos Haivarim, Halacha. There's so few Sfarim that are written about Chovos Levavos. So he decided to write a Sefer. First of all, he says, because he did so much research on his own, he wanted to write down notes that he would remember. So he wrote Chovos Levavos to be a source of memory for himself, so he can chazer what he did. That's number one. And number two, for people who perhaps don't have the tools to learn on their own, so that they'd be able to do it. So I'm going to tell you, the whole Sefer has 10 sections in it. I'm going to try to do this in general with the Sfarim that we learned about. The Sefer has 10 sections. On each one is a general klal in Chovos HaLevavos, in these Chovos of Levavos. And each section has two parts to it. It has logical proofs, philosophic proofs, and proofs from Psukim, which you might say, those aren't proofs. Those are just, you know, Rias from Psukim. So the truth is, these are the two elements that we spoke about in Rav Sajigon. Logical proofs and the Masora. And he provides you with both of them, Chovos Levavos, in each of the sections. The 10 sections are, drum roll please, and we will, should I start from 10 and get down to 1? I'll just go in order. But we'll end with this. The 10 sections of the Sefer are, number 1 is Sefer HaYichud, Shar Yichud. This is the most controversial sections of the Sefer. It's all the proofs for God. And that's number 1. Number 2, Shar HaBechina. Shar HaBechina are his meditations on nature. The whole idea of meditating on nature, looking around at the world and trying to perceive Hashem through nature, which the Rambam, we know, speaks very highly about in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis or Perek Dalet, I'm forgetting right now, where he speaks about coming to Avas Hashem through studying nature. That's section 2, Bechina, introspection, thinking about the world, meditating even. Number 3, Avodas Elokeinu, how the proper way is to accept upon yourself that you are working for Hashem. Avodas Elokim, Avodas Elokeinu, how to accept Hashem's rulership over us. Number 4 is Bitachon, what the balance is between how much we're supposed to rely on Hashem and how much we're supposed to do things. We're going to discuss this next week. Bezras Hashem, it's a fascinating topic, a Ramban, famous Ramban, about whether you should go to whether the tzaddik should go to a doctor or not, or whether you can just rely on Hashem, how much hishtaglus is needed, how much bitachon is needed. That's number 4. Number 5, I actually just saw on our website recently that was discussing Torah in the workplace. So the very beginning said, no person can start working on a parnasa until he learns shar bitachon of the Chovos Levavos. Because it gives you the proper perspective when you go to work every day about realizing where your parnasa comes from. Number 5, something, a section of the Sefer. You don't have to read every section. I remember when I was Shana Aleph or Shana Bet, I had certain issues and questions about how to do things lishma. Not just to do things because everybody else is doing things, but how to know that I'm doing things really for the right reasons. So I remember Rav Ezra Shapiro was in the Kolel then, the Kolel guy, and he directed me towards Yichud HaMaisa, the fifth section of Chovos HaLevavos, Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Yichud HaMaisa, bringing unity to your actions, so that you're not doing them for different reasons, that you're doing them all for the right reason. I remember that chapter had an influence on me. 6, Hakniya. This is the Shar about humility, about being submissive, subject to Hashem, realizing that Hashem isn't above you. 7, Shar HaTshuva, all about doing tshuva. Shar 8, Cheshbon HaNefesh, how to constantly be honest with yourself about what you're lacking and not fooling yourself about where you're holding. And number 10, Avas Hashem. I skipped number 9. Thank you. Number 9, Precious. How to work on distancing taiva. How to work on downplaying your need for gashmius. And number 10, Avas Hashem. Now, after hearing those 10 amazing chapters, how can you not go right into the Beis Medrash and pick up a Chovos Levavos and start to familiarize yourself with this tremendous Sefer? So, Bezras Hashem, next week we'll start to learn Shara Bitachon of the Chovos Levavos.